His Imperial Majesty the Emperor would have granted a decoration and war medals to 16,310 Manchukuo soldiers, including 461 dead. He had cooperated with the Japanese in the battles of Nomonhan and Tenshuten, and in the fighting against the Communist Army during the China Affair. It was announced by the War Ministry on stage, Tenshuten. Meanwhile, the Manchukuo government had also announced that His Majesty the Emperor of Manchukuo has conferred decorations upon 1,389 Japanese Army officers and men, including 773 dead, as well as Japanese civilians in the military services who had rendered meritorious services to the joint defense of Manchukuo and to the establishment of peace and order in Manchukuo. Among the Japanese Army officers receiving the honors are Premier General Hideki Tojo and General Kotaro Nakamura. From a Japanese army, powerful Japanese bomber formations relentlessly bombed enemy strategic points along the Shikian-Tianchi Railway, including Yushan, Huangpen, and several others. Retreating Peking soldiers were also subjected to fierce bombing and machine gunning attacks. From Shanghai, Peking authorities alerted the first Japanese bombing raid over Xinyang in Hunan Province. Xinyang suffered tremendous damage on Sunday when the two waves of Japanese bomber formations showered tons of bombs over Xinyang, the strategic point in Hunan Province. You are listening, friends, to the War Bulletin from Tokyo. From Suzhou, with the occupation of the war town of Suzhou, formerly enemy headquarters in Xinjiang province, the Japanese gained the following war results in and around Suzhou. War dead left by the enemy, 2,817. War prisoners, 3,759. Anti-aircraft guns, 14. Field guns, 4. From Xiangxi War Fence, the climax of the annihilation campaign against the 30,000 Peking soldiers belonging to the 79th Army at a point west of Suzhou was reached when the Japanese started vigorous action against at dawn Sunday despite heavy rain. A series of large-scale mopping-up operations are now in progress in the area south of Lake Poyang. From Shanxi from central China, the war town of Chungzhen, strategically important town on the Linshui River, a tributary of the Fu River in Jiangxi province, was completely occupied by the Japanese forces early Monday afternoon. The Japanese forces which occupied this point had been advancing southwestward from Suzhou, another important town in a sector which fell into Japanese hands on Friday. Part of the Japanese forces, in hot pursuit of the fleeing enemy from Chungzhen, reached Yiwan, late Monday afternoon. Together with Suzhou and Yiwan, the occupied town of Chungzhen is one of the most important towns on the Shikian-Tianxi supply route. Besides being the base of the 79th Army of the 1340s, the town was the distribution center of rice, silk, and potatoes, which are abundant in that region. It has a population of about 25,000. From somewhere in Jiangxi province, mighty Japanese forces stormed into E1, southwest of Suzhou, Monday evening, after crushing enemy resistance around the wall town of E1. Headquarters of the Peking 194th Division, which was voted by thinking as impregnable. At a certain base in China, blessed with fine weather, crushed Japanese army planes on Monday attacked Huangxi. Another name for it is Shangyao, the headquarters of the enemy's third war zone, causing great damage to military establishments and railway stations in the neighborhood. The bridge in the east of Huangxin is reported to have been blown up. Meanwhile, other Japanese air units found large enemy troops moving along Shikian-Tianxi Railway, and severely pounded them, thus making the enemy to flee in the utter disorder. From Taiyuan, North China, Japanese mopping up operations against the Chinese communist soldiers belonging to the 18th Half Army and the 129th Division are successfully going on in North China. On June the 5th, the body of Chief of Staff Po Chuan of the 18th Group Army was found among the war dead, left behind on the battlefield. On June the 7th, the Japanese captured three munition factories operated by the Chinese Red. Aboard a certain Japanese warship, American Filipino troops remnant, according to Captain Ralph Sutter Frederick, 23-year-old skipper of the Philippine Coastal Task Force, not in an interview with the press here. Captain Frederick was captured after aimlessly wandering the waters off the Philippines for 8 days with a crew of 5 men. We quote, "The war is over as far as we are concerned, and we have decided to spend a quiet life on the farm after all is over," the young captain said. The American officer added that the United States was pushed into the war by Britain. This is Tokyo Calling. From Nanking, Premier Chen Ching-hui, the special state envoy of Manchukuo, and his party, including foreign ministers Wei Huan Cheng, arrived here by plane from Dairen Monday afternoon. They were met by a large crowd of both Japanese and Chinese dignitaries. They are visiting China on a courtesy visit. With imperialistic and aggressive Britain and the United States now on the verge of collapse before the onslaught of the Japanese armed might, it is high time for all the United people to get together for the reconstruction of East Asia. From 19, Dr. Chubin Yu, Special Envoy to Japan and his suite, returned to capital of the Chinese national government Monday evening by air after successfully concluding their mission in Japan. From Stockholm, former Japanese ambassador to Rome and now member of the House of Commons, in his article appearing in a recent issue of the monthly magazine, Genzai, asserted the climax of the war will come in 1943. The former envoy said that Britain will crack. An armed conflict will then come to a pastoral halt, dragging the war into a form of an economic and either ideological one. Mr. Chiratori added that all the old influences will flee to the United States while they might attempt to put up their last resistance. Even if the old world and its influence should take flight to the United States, there is no need for the Axis powers to worry, nor would it be necessary for them to overestimate the resistance power of the old influence, in the opinion of Mr. Chiratori. So, after next year, the Axis powers need only to wait ultimate collapse of American resistance from within. From Berlin, the DNB news agency on Monday announced that Hungarian Premier Karl called on Chancellor Adolf Hitler at his headquarters and conferred with him on political issues. German Foreign Minister Ribbentrop was also present at the interview. Thailand's firm desire to bring the present war to a successful end was expressed by Mr. Perkala Gudail, Thai Minister to Germany, when he met the press in Stockholm recently. The Thai Minister further declared that Thailand's objective in the present war is perfectly in accord with Japan, and that the Thai people firmly believe in the final victory of the war. His concert in memory of the late Felix Weingartner, noted Swiss conductor-composer, who died in Switzerland on May the 8th, will be given by the Tokyo Chamber Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Klaus Finnschein, who was a pupil under Weingartner in Germany about 30 years ago. The late Young Johnson directed the New Symphony Orchestra while he was in Japan in 1937. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of our news bulletin.
This is Radio Tokyo, the shortwave station of the Broadcasting Corporation of Japan. Radio Tokyo now presents the American War Prisoners Hour. We bring you today the voices of Frederick Porter Wells, Jack Robert Young, H.J. Ashton, and Carl E. Ledenborg. We present first the voices of Frederick Porter Wells and Jack Robert Young.
This is Frederick Porter Wells, Yeoman Third Class, the U.S. Navy. My home address is 3337 South Island Street in San Gabriel, California. I am a war prisoner in the Green Duty Japan War Prisoners Corps. I hope that my parents are listening in, but just in case they are listeners, I would appreciate it very much if someone would relay this short message on to Miss Nancy Stone at 3337 South Island in San Gabriel, California. Hello, Mom and Dad. I hope that you are both all around and good home. Please don't worry about me as my health is good and I am fine. It's not the first 3 days that we were here in Japan, so we were given warm blankets and heavy clothes. I lost my oven, but I need no pictures of you to conquer in my mind. All my personal papers were destroyed, but I hope that you can straighten things out for me. Think all your relatives for me and give all my life. The Apple Tower and the last thought standing hello. We are hoping I'll be home soon, so please don't worry. I have to sign off now, but I'll see you soon. Keep it to it. I love you. For you. My name is Jack
Modern bombers can span the waters between New Caledonia and Australia in a few hours. but the island is of Maryland's strategic importance. It is rich in minerals. From its mines come vital supplies of nickel and chrome. To Japan, it would be a prize beyond reckoning. To the presence of Americans in New California, Australia owes the deepest debt of gratitude. Under the Star of Insight and the Cross of Lorraine, our shores, and more important, our very mouthlines are being protected. Japan has struck far to the south, but the strongest impression one gains here is that the surf has been called and called to some order. Unquote. It's just a year since the men of an Australian division in the Middle East crossed the frontier between Syria and Palestine and opened battle in that area. Today, the Australians are still in Syria and Lebanon, not the same Australians, but troops with an equally proud record, the veterans who made history in the besieged fortress of Tobruk. Official war correspondent Dennis Flesser says there was some disappointment among those men when they realized they were not to return to Australia with the other AIF units. They knew, however, that they still had a big job to do in the Middle East. They had used time well in the lull since they left Tobruk. Training has been intensive and has brought the men to the highest pitch of military and physical efficiency. Further awards of the Silver Star to United States Airmen are announced by General Headquarters today. Captain Andrew J. Reynolds received the award for skill, leadership, and courage in an aerial battle. On April 11th, Captain Reynolds led a flight of four P-40s over Darwin against a formation of seven enemy bombers escorted by 7-0 fighters. In the combat, Captain Reynolds shot down two Japanese planes and damaged another. Silver Stars are awarded to Major Ronald D. Hubbard, First Lieutenant Henry J. Rose, Second Lieutenant Theodore Arter, the third. A-R-T-E-R. Technical Sergeant Kirby W. Neal. Staff Sergeant Frederick A. Bumgarten. Sergeant Janice W. McGill. And Private Oscar C. Biddle. The men formed a combat crew which carried out a lone bombing mission through heavy anti-aircraft fire and despite attack by a number of enemy planes. Another group of airmen received the award for an extraordinary achievement in photographing Japanese bases on islands north of Australia on reconnaissance missions. These men are Second Lieutenant Charles L. Richards, Technical Sergeant Robert L. Barlow, Sergeant James A. Carter, Sergeant Albert C. Nichols, and Corporal Richard M. Wallace. The Silver Star is also awarded to Second Lieutenant William L. Raylan, Master Sergeant John O. Fleming, PFC Carl A. Reamer, R-E-R-M-E-R, and PFC John E. Makela, M-A-K-E-L-A. These airmen formed the combat crew of a flying surface which became separated from its formation in an attack against Japanese transports and warships at Luzon in the Philippines. The fortress completed a successful bombing run and was then attacked by six Japanese pursuit planes. In the combat, three of the attacking planes were shot down. Enemy machine gun fire disabled two of the engines of the fortress, and the gunners had to fight off repeated attacks while the pilots carried out successful fast landings. Sergeant Vincenzo Stanziano, S-T-A-Z-I-A-N-O, and PFC John A. Romer, R-E-S-L, received the Silver Star for their courage and devotion to duty as air gunners in a bombing raid on an airfield at Davao in the Philippines. In a bombing run, an engine of their plane was damaged. They were attacked by 10 enemy pursuit planes. The two gunners warded off enemy attacks for more than 20 minutes, enabling the plane to return to its base. That is the end of the news from Australia.